Welcome to the PDP Podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. This is Michael Hoffman, and I have with me in the studio today one more time one of my favorite people in the world, my daughter, Allie Hoffman.
Woo! I'm back, baby.
Speaker extraordinaire and igniter of people and dancer.
We try.
Fabuloso.
We try, you know. Here we are.
I wanted to talk about a topic that I think is really important, but I know that when I think of this particular topic, you do some things that I just really kind of admire, and I wanted to get it on the table and maybe pick your brain a little bit on why it's important and how we can do it better, and that's
lottery tickets.
That's exactly right. How do you pick your numbers? You haven't won anything, but
I'm actually a secret millionaire.
That's right.
I'm just kidding.
Wouldn't that be great? I actually have a cousin who won the lottery twice.
What?
Twice.
What?
Yes.
How many millions?
A couple. The first one, she got a scratch off with a friend. Her friend gave it to her as a present, and she won, like, I'm not joking, $500,000, and she gave half of it to her friend.
Oh, that's a very good friend.
Yeah, it's a very good friend. So, but then she won it again. And last time I visited her, she had her and her husband had these two beautiful new motorcycles out front that they were, you know, show off type motorcycles.
Okay, actually, we are going to talk about lottery tickets. We're all going to pause this.
Forget the
topic that we were going to talk about.
Yeah. Let's talk about lottery tickets. How to do it.
Yeah. Actually, if there's any experts that are listening and you could call in, this is not a call-in show or anything. This is pre-recorded. But if you could let us know, that'd be great.
That would be great. That would really be great. Just send your cards and letters and tips and techniques to Michael Hoffman at ignitingperformance.com.
Dallas, Texas.
Actually, the topic I want to talk about is the Sabbath. To rest. Let's talk about rest.
Yeah, I like that verb. It's to Sabbath.
Yeah, to Sabbath. Whenever I think of this particular topic, I always go back to the story in Scripture about God creating the world in 6 days. And on the seventh day, he rested.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard a teaching on that once that I thought was very important to me. It just really, I got it. I totally got it. And, you know, the big question that was asked first in this teaching was, well, why did it take 6 days? He's God. Couldn't he do it in a blink? And maybe he did, you know, but so there's more to the story. It's not that there were 6 days, 6 events. There's a reason for the numbers. And so this teaching focused on the numbers, especially seven. Because the first 3 days were building the house, the second 3 days were filling the house, and the last day was to rest. And then he went on to teach about how that number seven is important in the Jewish faith. It represents completeness, perfection. And there's also another way of looking at it, and that is to, matter of fact, they use the word, the old Hebrew word to seven oneself was the same way that you created a covenant, or another word for it was family. You created family. To seven oneself with somebody was to go into covenant relationship with you, aka family. It wasn't contractual. It was more like a family relationship than a business type of transaction. So the lesson really was that God's creation story was about him creating his creation and then turning it into family. So to seven oneself, God sevened himself with his creation and became family.
Yeah.
So when I think of to Sabbath or to rest, there's a purpose to that, and there's a thing that. So I wanted to talk about that topic, about, you know, why rest is important. What do you do for yourself? Because I know you're a very, very busy person, and very classic in this day and age where we could go. So let's talk about Sabbath. Let's talk about to rest. What do you think when you think of that?
Well, first, just going off of what you said, just struck me. I think of. It moved from a business transaction into family. And I think one of everything that I've learned about Sabbath and about resting and about creating margin in your life is one of my favorite teachers. His name is John Mark Comer. He lived out in Portland for a long time. Now I believe he lives in California with his family. But for the past like 7 or 8 years, I've just been following this
guy's teaching on just his exploration of Sabbath. And he wrote a book called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in here, the thesis for the book is essentially one of the greatest evils of our time is that we're too busy. With good things, with bad things, our lives are just so full that we have no time for actually things that matter, or not things that matter, but things that actually will give us rest, that we're so busy that we're actually killing ourselves.
Even with good things.
Yeah, you think about like, immediately I think about like kids' sports, like kids' sports schedules. Like, that's a good thing to be in a sports team and to practice
the things
you know,
that you could learn from being on a team.
Yeah, team and stuff. However, when it's, you know, sometimes now it's to the extreme of now there are sports things on Sundays, or there are sports things when traditionally it was like centered around having a time of family, whatever. So now sports, it's all consuming for a lot of people. Just an example. And so his whole teaching and talking about is really creating space in your life, creating a rule of life where you center around things that actually bring you life. And it's not like you neglect things, but that you create space and margin in your life to be able to rest, because we're actually way more tired than we even realize. And some of you guys listening are probably like, no, I realize I'm exhausted.
In this industry, people are tired.
Yes, exactly. Because there's always something
to do. I've never known a harder working group of people.
Yes, exactly. And depending on where you're going, what you're living, like your state of life, the industry that you're in, it's not necessarily like, okay, I can't just stop doing things. But I think there can be practices put in place to create margin and to create space where you can actually show up to life, to people, to your job, to your work from a place of rest rather than a place of busyness or anxiety or stress. And I think it all comes back to habits and being intentional. But something, you know, John Mark Comer, what he teaches is specifically having a day of Sabbath, a day of rest. And he was like, if it's good enough for the Lord, then it's good enough for me. If God needed to rest on the seventh day, then I for sure need to rest. So his big thing is creating, like, having a day every single week where you are ruthless about carving out time for rest. Whether that's I can have a morning, like it's a couple hours in the morning, or he's gotten to a point where him and his family have created this tradition and this culture where on Friday night, they have people over for dinner, and they have just a long dinner with good food, good conversation, just people that they're doing life with. And then they have some kind of like prayer service, just something to enter into. We're entering into our Sabbath day, which is for them on Saturday, because he was a pastor at a church. So Sunday is really crazy.
Sunday was a busy day.
So Saturday was really the day where he talks about setting up things on purpose, traditions where it brings your soul rest. And it's things, it's not necessarily like sleeping or things that you would think of like, whatever, it could involve that, but it's really things that bring you joy and delight and commune with the Father, ultimately with God, and his tradition. And so it's things that, you know, he would talk about he loves to read. He absolutely loves to read. And so on Saturdays, like he would just, you put away all technology, like put away all the phone, any distraction, him and his family, and he has kids.
Wow, that's really letting go.
Yeah, literally. Like, and they took time to get to this place,
yeah,
because there's so many things that are vying for our attention and that need our attention. But him and his family and his kids do this too. They put away their phones all day Saturday, and they cook really good meals. They have really good meals. They take naps. They recreate. One of his daughters really loves to draw and paint. And so that's like her day, where maybe her week is just really busy and she can't get to that, very full. And so one of his daughters just like creates and does art and just things that bring you life. Because I think things that bring you life, that is what's going to help you come from this place of, I need to create more space in my life to have these things that actually bring me life. And so that's him. Like, it's a weekly habit of having a Sabbath.
When you think about it, how often do you ever take a day?
Yeah.
And it's not doing nothing. That's what I liked about what you just said. It's not that I have to sit on the couch and not do anything. Yes.
Right.
Because that's not necessarily restful.
Right.
But it's doing things that bring you joy, that you delight in. I like that word. Because I know that my wife, your mom, one of the things.
Great lady.
Yeah.
10 out of 10.
Great lady. But what she considers rest, I consider work.
Yeah, yard work.
She is. Yes. She owns a. She has a landscaping company with her one of her best friends, uh-huh. and they've been doing it for decades. And they just love to work in the dirt. And so when she's home and she's been doing that all week, it's continuous on the weekends. I'm like, good gravy. Can you just put a stop to it?
And she pulls other people into it sometimes. You're like, yeah. I don't want to weed, actually.
But she gets great joy and yes. delight in working in her garden.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so it's things like for me, I love to read as well. I love naps. I love sleep so much. For me, what a Sabbath would look like usually is like a slow morning. So I'll prepare ahead of time to do this. So I'll like get food that I'll make in the morning that is just really like I love French toast. And I'll make like French toast and it'll just be a slow like there's no rush. Like there's no obligation. I have to get to everything else. That's the rest
there's
of
no
my week.
The agenda goes away.
Yes, the agenda goes away. It's literally yeah. just a slow, it's slowing down, basically. And so, yeah, cook a really good meal. I love napping. I love going to coffee shops. I love drawing or, reading. It's just things that bring me delight. I love, I pray every day. I have a prayer life every day. So, like, an extended prayer time of just, like, sitting in silence, reading scripture for me. Just, like, soaking in to, like, bring myself down from the agenda and the lists and the things that I have going on in my professional life. They will never go away. However, how can I be a person where I'm not ruled by that? Where I'm not ruled by the anxiety of I have to text the immediacy of things. I have to text this person. I have to email this person. I have to get these flights. I have to prepare this talk. That will always be there. So if that's not moving and that's not budging, how can I create in my own life and my own heart space and margin where I'm not ruled by that?
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm not controlled by that. And so if I can create space in my life where I can come to where I can show up to the rest of my life, to my friends, to my family, to my job, to my work, my career, the people that I'm ministering to and talking with from this place of rest rather from this place of anxiety. I've seen such a difference in my life over the past couple of years practicing this. And it's maybe you're not a person of faith, maybe not, like it doesn't have to be. I think that's more fruitful that way, but like it just coming from a place of you're delighting in something that brings you joy, that brings you life. Maybe for you, it's having people around your table and a really good meal. And it's just a long meal.
I like the idea of that, that it doesn't have to be a, you know, 24-hour day. It doesn't have to be like every Saturday because, you know, cows don't sleep. You know, they don't take days off.
They don't have Sabbath.
I take that back. Cows do sleep, but they don't.
They're
take
hungry.
Days off.
Yeah, farming.
That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, farming doesn't take a day off.
Yeah, right.
So how can you, like, even if it's like a couple hours, and it could be, Sabbath doesn't always have to be like a Saturday or Sunday. Like, choose a day during the week.
I love the idea of setting up those traditions and anchors where it's our Friday, mm-hmm. and we block out a Friday night. Maybe it's the Friday night gathering. Maybe mm-hmm. it's a... You know, this is where, or maybe it's an afternoon,
mm-hmm.
you know, it doesn't have to be a full day,
just
I guess,
a couple
but
hours.
Just, but I love that intentionality of space, creating a space that doesn't have that immediate pull on having to get things done.
Or I have to fill it with something.
I have to fill it with something.
Yeah.
Which I have to tell you is not easy for me.
Me neither.
Because I always feel
people.
I feel guilty not doing quote unquote anything because I know the list is long.
Yeah,
it never goes away.
Well, I think that's the American culture. It's like if you are not producing something, you are not productive. If you're not productive, then you're not worthy. What are you contributing to? What are you doing? And it's that mentality that I always have to be doing something. There's always something to do, a job or something, or I'm wasting my time.
Yeah.
When I don't think that's true. I think that creates a society where you are tied, your worth is tied to what you produce, mm-hmm. which is wrong. And I don't think that's right at all. And I remember I worked at a church for several years. And as I was leaving that church and before I started my new thing, I had about 2 months and I intentionally was like, I'm going to take a sabbatical. And I was able to do that. And I remember about halfway through, I was like, what am I going to show for my sabbatical? Like, yeah. I've had 2 months to rest. Like, what am I going
to
show that
I
did it well?
A science board project,
no, literally, you know, like all these projects or like things that I could have done. What am I going to prove? And I remember halfway through and just thinking, like, that is not the point of this rest. It's literally just for me to like, to the insanity that was before my life, to take a time of rest to go into my next thing. And I was able to do that. And so I think anyone is thinking, oh, if I'm not working, then I feel guilty.
Yeah.
Or if I'm not doing something, when that's exactly why we need a Sabbath, to yeah. combat that line, to combat that feeling, and that to show the world, it's like, actually, I'm going to live a different way. And I'm not going to live the way that you think it is. And I'm still productive, and I still have value because of my dignity and you know, inherent dignity. But
one of the things I love about watching you is you're an influencer on the internet, unintentionally, too.
Yeah. Like, don't put that title on me.
I know, and I apologize about that, because a lot that means so many things. But you are influential.
Mm.
People follow you. They love the things that you post. But I love how, on many many occasions, I think it's, I don't know how often you do it, or maybe it's just whenever you need. But you'll take a sabbatical from the internet,
A
year.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm going away for a year, and I when I first saw you do that, I went, okay, you know, it's over. There's because you've had, you know, you got a ton of followers.
Yeah.
And I know that's unintentional too. It's just like, I'm just gonna be me, and whoever wants to come
literally
walk with
don't
me.
Don't ask me advice on how to build following. I have no idea.
Yeah, but you do have a very large following. But I love the fact that you said, you know, you tell them, I'm gonna go away for a year, and I'm thinking, okay, let's see how this works out, because I'm watching, and when you come back, it's like you're bigger than ever before. People are like, yay! And it was like a blink, but I can imagine what that detox was from the fasting of that constant pull. And that's just one type of pull that we have in our life, is the internet. I mean, my gosh, it's yeah. So so there's lots of different ways to Sabbath, I think is what I'm bringing up, or to rest.
Yeah.
There's lots of ways to rest. How are you picking things in your life to get control of? Because I think that's one of the benefits of rest, is it puts us back in the driver's seat of certain areas. Like, for instance, things sneak into our lives that control us, like our phones.
100%.
I always like to test the kids that when I was working with the youth, I would always ask them, I said, you know, don't pick up your phone for a day, let alone a week. Just try not turning on your phone for a day. See if you can do it. And it's always a big joke. People freak out. They go, oh my gosh, there's no way. Everything. And then the aha is, why have you let that come into your life?
Mm-hmm.
That there is something that is so consuming that if you tried to walk away, it would be very difficult. To me, that's a flag.
Mm-hmm.
And it's part of the stuff that you were talking about, this relentless, you know, taking of our attention. And to try to put that into perspective. So I guess fasting would be a way of resting, fasting from phone, fasting from a certain lifestyle that you think is too all-consuming. And
yeah, I think, and fasting and Sabbath are different, but they're tied together, because a Sabbath, when you're bringing things that bring delight, that fill your cup, so to speak, to use that language, that fill your soul, that fill your joy tank or whatever, then you're able to show up. And I think when you're filled with things that actually bring you rest, then I think you're able to see those attachments of things that drain you. 'Cause let's be real, being on your phone for 8 hours, scrolling for however long, that I can guarantee you, no one is going to say that brings me so much rest, that I'm such like a better person after that. Exactly. Yeah. Every single person. And it's designed that way. Like Silicon Valley, like the people designed it that way. There is no way that it cannot not be that way.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says. Social media, it is all consuming and it will destroy you. I have different thoughts on social media, but that's for another podcast.
I had a comedian say that he looked at his phone and said, you have spent 60 hours on your phone in this last day.
That's not impossible.
I know that's me.
But it's there.
Totally.
Yeah, and so I think when you're filled with things that bring you rest, I think it's easier to see things that do not. And to things, and like your point of how do you know if you have an attachment, is if you're able to let it go or not. will show you what your attachments are. Like, mm-hmm. to give up social media for a day, a week, to not get on it. And if it's like, oh, I just can't, then that's an attachment. And that's something that is vying for your attention. And
Perspective, put things back in a perspective.
Exactly. And even
what a great exercise.
Taking that social media break for a year, I just felt called of just like, it was a personal thing because I did not like how I felt when I was scrolling, or I had this thing, like I had a business, somewhat of a business, and it just fueled my competition in an unhealthy way, or jealousy or envy or pride even. And I was coming from a space of like, I have to beat the algorithm, da da da, instead of a place of just creating out of an abundance and creating out of joy. And so I noticed that in myself. I was like, wow, I don't want to be controlled by this or this thought. Like, I'm not a better person after I'm scrolling. And so I want to take a year off. And after that year, I haven't really come back on that page. Like, it's kind of not dead, but other things have sprung from that. But I've never really fully come back. And I don't think I ever will, because I'm not attached to that outcome or success. Like, that doesn't define my worth. That doesn't define, that was a beautiful thing for its time. But I don't feel the need to continue it just because I had this huge momentum. Mm-hmm. Like, what that fasting and really what that time did was show me a perspective of, I'm not tied to that. Like, I don't have to show my worth and prove my worth through that.
There are so many things that we do that I think, what a great exercise is to ask yourself, what do I do that subconsciously gives me worth? Mm. When those things really don't define my worth, because I am worthy just right. because I am, mm-hmm. you know, I am a child of God. Mm-hmm. Ergo, I am worthy. I have worth.
Right.
But sometimes we put these things in our lives that define us. Like, my success in my business does not define my worth.
Right.
It's just what I do. It's not who I am.
Right.
And those types of exercises, I think, can really help us kind of put things back into perspective. You know, on a physiological, that's a word.
That's a real word, yeah.
Physiological level, rest is tremendously important biologically.
Yeah.
Our body gets things done mm-hmm. when we rest. We are more healthy when we rest. Our cells are rejuvenated. Our cleansing happens when we rest. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to lose weight, by the way, it happens when you sleep. I don't know if you're aware of this.
Oh, that's why I love sleep.
Yeah, sleep. I it's true. So things happen when we rest that are so good for us. What are we doing to help put that more into our lives? Yeah, thanks, Allie. I think this topic has really kind of got me thinking. You know, because our business does not take days off, mm-hmm. we have a tendency to work so hard at getting things done that the topic of getting rest done is mm-hmm. kind of a weird thing to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's tremendously important, I think, for the success of us as people
mm-hmm.
and our health.
Yeah.
You know, well, mentally and spiritually and physically.
Like, it's not even I have to get rest done. It's because I think sometimes we can come into it as well of like, okay,
it's time to rest,
I'm
going to
take. Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly.
Not what I meant, but that's true.
Or like, I'm going to have an agenda for my rest. Like, I'm going to have like a, and so it's really nothing is different other than maybe having a good meal, you know, like. So I think it's, if you're wanting to start just like maybe even a couple hours, like looking at your week, and it takes preparation, looking at your week, what is feasible of I can take a couple hours and I'm going to cancel everything. I'm going to block off a couple of 3 hours, start with 3 hours
mm-hmm.
where I'm going to block off. I'm going to intentionally turn off my phone. I'm going to turn off any technology. And I'm going to plan in a sense, quote unquote, plan. These next 3 hours of thinking about what actually brings me great joy that I never have time for. A walk in a museum or a walk through the fields, you know, if they're farmers and stuff like that, or just something like a really good meal that I never have time. Even if it's like just making this one meal,
mm-hmm.
just something, starting out once a week, blocking off 3 hours. And just starting there
mm-hmm.
of just to see. And it's almost like an experiment too of just like it's a give and take, like how my Sabbath looks. It's going to look different in different lives. I don't do a full day because I used to, but now I don't because my life is crazy and I want to get back to that. So it's a give and take kind of thing of looking at your life and looking at what's feasible, because it's also not like shirking your responsibilities and be like, sorry, I'm Sabbathing. Like, I can't, I'm resting. Like, yeah, just, turn off my phone. Sorry. Because that's not it too. Like, you need to show up and, you know, do your work and stuff. But just looking at this next week, thinking about what is a day feasible that I can take 3 hours? What is something that brings me joy? And just do that, even if it's 2 hours. Just doing that and just creating that habit every week having something. Because it's almost like I've talked to people where they take a Sabbath every weekend. It's for some people, it's on a Sunday. For some people, it's on a Saturday. And they feel like it's like a mini Christmas every single week, something that they so look forward to because they know this week is going to be really full, but I know that I'm just going to come to a place of like deep rest and joy and delight and just coming back, almost like your body and soul are coming back together. And it's just like, I can exhale. And then you start your next week. And so some people, they describe, like, I have friends that describe it as like, it's like Christmas morning every single week.
I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, we work so hard 6 days.
And first, which is good. Days, yes, we're tilling the ground. Like, we're what God has given us, like the work that God's given us. Thank you, Jesus. We also need rest, though.
Yeah, and just to go full circle, I love that it's not doing nothing per se. Mm-hmm. It's what can we do? What can we do to carve out time to seven ourselves, to build family, to build community, to do things? I love how you said it. Just to bring joy and delight. I think that was the word you used.
Yeah.
Joy and delight. So it's not nothing. That's so far from nothing.
Right.
But it's carving out time to rest in delight and joy and family, to seven oneself.
And I think, too, it will depend, too. It's going to look different for every person, depending on your temperament, your personality. Like, I know as an introvert, I really like time by myself, and I know that I need that to rest. And so a lot of my time, my Sabbath, my resting is I'm not with people. Because that actually drains me, even if really good people, like, that can drain me. And so depending on your personality, like, I know I heard of a couple, like, it's a couple that are older and they really like really good food. And so it's just them two, and they'll find a new restaurant to go to, and they'll create something from scratch. Some people, I get energy and I really rest in having a lot of loved ones by me. Mm-hmm. And so they'll create dinners or they'll host things that are not something game that's nights. Draining game night, but something that is filling and gives delight. And so depending on your temperament, your state of life, like who's around, like what brings you, joy.
What brings you joy? Man, thanks, Allie. I really appreciate that.
Hey, you're welcome, Dan.
I think this topic is tremendously important. I would love to encourage all of you to think about yourselves as far as what are you doing to seven yourself? Not only with you personally, but also with those around you. Be a catalyst for joy and delight. Be a catalyst for rest, even if it's, you know, half a day, an hour, you know, a week, a day in your life in this year. What are you doing to sort of give yourself that time to rest, and give us some ideas of what you're doing in the comments below. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah.
Okay. Allie, thanks for the topic. Appreciate your time.
Hey, you're welcome. Anytime.
Love you.
Love you.
Let's thank you for sevening yourself with me this particular podcast.
For being my dad, father, family.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Our thanks to Michael Hoffman of Igniting Performance for today's message on the PDP Weekly Podcast. For more on Michael, head to his website at ignitingperformance.com. And for archive podcasts and more on the professional dairy producers, head to pdpw.org. Until next time, have a great week.